to Radio PRS. I'm your co-host, Mike Ratton. Radio PRS is brought to you by the Psychical Research Society of Kansas City. PRS is a not-for-profit organization whose purposes include programs and activities to investigate, study, research, demonstrate, discuss, interpret, and expand information concerning psychic phenomena, parapsychology, and related subjects, and to disseminate information by any and all media of communication. The Psychical Research Society is not just an organization for those who practice the intuitive arts. We're here for anyone who is interested in exploring the subjects covered in our mission statement. If you'd like more information on becoming a member, please visit our website at prskc.org. Our guest this evening is Master Healer, Teacher, and Intuitive, Maya Zahira. You can call in and talk with Maya and Nikki this evening at 646-668-8212. Now here's your host, Nikki Williams.
Good evening, Mike. How are you this evening?
Well, how are you?
I am very good. It's been windy like crazy today here in Kansas City. As a matter of fact, my little tiny dogs almost blew away today. Bless their little hearts. I had to go outside, and the look on their faces was definitely an interesting sight to see, and they wanted in very, very quickly. Before we get into our show, I'd like to mention that today is Veterans Day, and Radio PRS, all of us here, would like to extend a huge amount of gratitude to all of the men and women who have and do, and those who will, serve this country. Your service is appreciated, and you are appreciated. We are blessed to have you serving this country. So thank you very much. I am so excited about tonight's show. I'm excited about every week's show because I just think we get to talk to the coolest people and learn the coolest stuff. And tonight we have as our guest Maya Zahira of Maya's Oasis Energy Healing Institute. And Maya is a master healer, and she teaches, and she's an intuitive, and she's Maya, you kind of cover all the bases. Very well-rounded. You wear a lot of hats.
I do. I love hats, you know. I do. Well, thank you so
me
much.
Too. I'm a hat person.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, I just bought a cowgirl hat recently. So that's another
Ooh.
Hat.
There you go. Maya Zahira, cowgirl.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, I'm excited that you're here, and I'm very, very excited about tonight's topic when we're talking about, because I myself have problems with this sometimes. We're talking about going from being exhausted to energized, and so many people have such an issue with chronic fatigue and just lack of energy in general. But before we get into the topic, I want to ask you a little bit about yourself, because I know that your story is really central to how you got into energy work and all the other things that you do. So please share with us a little bit about your background.
Mm-hmm. I sure will. And yes, you're so correct that actually my story is really the backbone of why I am doing what I'm doing now. So I actually, even as a child, I was having mystical experiences. I was having visions and psychic experiences and remembering past lives and all sorts of crazy stuff as a child, even though no one around me was talking about those kinds of things. So that was definitely interesting. And those experiences continued into my teenage years and then beyond and into adulthood. And then when I was a teenager, I started having a lot of health issues that went undiagnosed for several years until in my early 20s, I was diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. And for a long time, I just kind of joked that that was what they said I had because they had no clue what was really going on. But,
yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, I'll talk more about that a little bit later because there can be a lot of different things happening. But I actually lived with that for about 10 years until I finally started my formal training in energy healing and intuitive development. So I already was doing some of these things, but I really started the formal aspect of my training in 1998, and that was when I first started learning about energy healing, and then one specific form of energy healing that I really focused on in the beginning was Reiki. And Reiki really helped me a lot with getting my energy back. And also in my intuitive development studies, I learned that I was very sensitive and I was picking up on all of these things in my environment, and that was overloading my system, and that was making me tired too. So that was this big epiphany when I realized that the exhaustion wasn't just a physical, it didn't have just a physical cause. I spent many years using Reiki techniques, other energy healing techniques, and also coming to understand the information, the intuitive information that I was picking up from the environment, learning how to manage my own energy so that I could actually function and be able to, have a normal life like most other people. So that's a little bit about my background.
Wonderful. Well, you know, I can tell you, as someone who has and does frequently experience bouts of that chronic fatigue type issue, and I was diagnosed also in my 20s with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue syndrome, for me personally, I have found, and this was before I became Reiki attuned, and I'm a Reiki master as well, I have found that Reiki, for me as well, has also really helped to quell that a bit. But I totally understand what you're talking about when you say that a lot of it had to do with what you were picking up from your environment, because I'm an empath and a medical intuitive. So I get the emotions of other people and I get their physical pain. It can be really hard to separate yourself from what isn't yours sometimes when you are very heavily intuitive. So how did you develop a way to do that, a way to kind of say, all right, I'm not going to let this overwhelm me?
Yeah, I think it was, it was very, very gradual learning journey. And I'm still learning and growing. And, I'm a lifelong learner, so I have this huge wall of books in my house right now. I'm always learning more things. Yeah, so ever since my mid-20s, I was taking classes and learning different tools and then even still now learning more tools and adding more to my toolbox. So there wasn't just one aha moment. It's been just years and years of adding a little bit more and having a little mini aha moment over here. And I did have really my big aha moment as far as being an empath and picking up on energies around me was when I simply finally understood that I was an empath. That was in my mid-20s, and I was reading a book called Positive Energy, and it's by Dr. Judith Orloff. That book is several years old, but she explained what it is to be an empath, and I didn't know what being an empath was before that. And when I got done reading that book, I said, aha, that's a lot of what's going on. So she described that being an empath means that you're picking up on the energies in your environment. Now, that could be energies from other people. It could be their physical symptoms or their emotions, their thoughts. Some people pick up on just certain aspects. Some people only pick up empathically on people's physical pain, and some people pick up just on emotions from other people. Some people pick up on everything. I pick up on everything. And then also you can pick up other things. You can pick up on other things in your environment, like issues going on with the planet, with the earth. If there's stress in a area of the earth, then someone can feel a lot of pain and overwhelm from that. You can also pick up feelings, energies from the collective consciousness of your family, of your neighborhood, of your city, of your state, of your country, and of all the humankind on the whole planet. So if there's a lot of fear going on in your community, you can feel that, and it can feel like it's your fear, and it can max out your system. So there's a lot of different ways that you can be empathic beyond just picking up on people's physical symptoms. But even if you're just picking up on people's physical symptoms, you walk into a room and suddenly you have a headache and you feel exhausted, and it's not even yours. But if you don't know that you're an empath, then you, like for me at the time, I just thought that I just felt sick all the time. I thought it was my sick. Yeah. So reading that book was a big epiphany for me. And then after that, it was just a lot of little breakthroughs and learning along the way.
Wow. Definitely. There have been quite a few books that helped me find those aha moments in my life, too. And it's easy to see how if you're not aware of your own empathy, that you can definitely be overwhelmed very quickly by picking up on all of those energies and not knowing that they're not yours, and that you don't have to own them, you know. And I think that's an important step as well, knowing that I don't have to own this. This is not mine. Yeah, I'm feeling it for a reason, and maybe I can help someone, you know, but to say, I don't own this. This isn't mine. It gives you a kind of permission to release and let go. And for me personally, that's helped a lot.
Exactly. And why don't I go ahead? I actually was going to talk a little bit about that. And so that's a good segue. Actually, what I was going to talk about is that, first we want to just take a second and acknowledge that there are other reasons why a person can have fatigue. So there can be medical reasons why a person can have fatigue. And then we also know that if you're under a lot of stress, or if you don't get enough sleep, or your nutrition is poor, then that can also cause chronic exhaustion. And so if you do have any of those issues going on, then definitely, work on improving your diet, work on going to bed earlier, and all of those obvious things. And obviously go see your medical practitioner for any medical issues that might be going on. And so beyond any of those issues, we're talking about tonight on this show all of the other reasons that people might not even have realized. Like, so far we've been talking about being an empath and how that can really make you feel exhausted. So I see, with all of my own self-healing over the years, I've really identified that there's two reasons why you might be exhausted. One of the reasons is the energy that's going out, the energy that you're expending. And then the other reason is the energy that's coming in, like the stuff that you're picking up on in your environment. So first, let's talk about... Yeah, so first let's talk about energy out. So you've got your certain amount of physical energy, and also as an energy healer, it's all connected. So your physical energy and the energy in your aura, the energy that you're holding in your chakras, the amount of energy in your energy body. Okay, so if that is low. If that's low, then you're going to feel exhausted as well. So back to the energy out paradigm. You have a certain amount of energy, and how are you expending that energy? Are you on a hamster wheel where you're saying yes to everything? And this is where I work with mainly women, but both men and women, I see a lot of people who are not taking ownership and power with their own life. So it's really important. If you feel really exhausted and like you're on the gerbil wheel, then it's very important for you to take time to really, whether it's through prayer, meditation, journaling, talking with friends, get more clear on what it is that you want to be doing with your life and what's important to you, and even what your life purpose is. What right now, what do you think that you're supposed to be doing? Because if there's an opportunity that comes up or someone asks you to do something that's not aligned with your purpose, then your answer might need to be no. No,
it's
not aligned with your soul purpose. Now, I'm also thinking, obviously, you have family responsibilities and things like that, but overall, you need to get clear about your life purpose. And sometimes you need support with that. I help people with that. There's other healers who can help you with that as well, with really cleaning out all the clutter of what other people have been telling you that you should be doing with your life. Get really grounded, connecting with your spirit, and finding out what your sweet spirit says about what your life purpose is. Get super clear on that, and all those extra activities need to go. And you say yes to only those things that you're truly aligned with. So many people I see are exhausted because they're just so maxed out. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I think so many people that I've seen have such a hard time saying no. And they need to know that's okay. It's okay to, and you don't have to have a reason why. You can just simply say, no, I'm not going to do that. And, I run into a lot of clients who say, but guilt, you know, they feel guilt over everything. Mm-hmm. You don't need to have guilt. You don't need to own this. This isn't yours, you know. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say no.
Exactly. You know, that reminds me, I was listening to Dr. Christiane Northrup's show on Hay House Radio this morning. And she was talking with a caller, and the caller was saying, you know, she was talking about how she feels uncomfortable with saying no. And Dr. Northrup said, well, you know, if you're at the mastery level, then you can say no. I really can't. I'm sorry, I really can't. But if you're not at the mastery level, you can say, let me check my calendar and I'll get back to you. Because for so many people, it's so hard to say no. With practice, you will get better at saying no to those things that you're not aligned with. But if you don't feel strong enough to do that just yet, you can say something that's honest, but that gives you a little space and a little bit of time so that you can, you know, instead of just getting put in the corner, getting cornered and ending up saying yes, and then you have to, it's even harder to say no after you've said yes. If you can give a maybe or let me think about it or something, that's a step forward rather than saying yes.
Yes, exactly.
So,
as I just said, yes.
Yeah. So really getting clear about designing your life, that's going to really help you to step, you listeners, to step out of the exhaustion of the hamster wheel. And that's a whole big project for you to work on now, this aha moment, like, I'm in charge of my life, because all, you know, parents and society have been telling you that you have to be running around and having an insane schedule, and that's just not healthy, and it is probably, most people are going to get super exhausted from living that way. So on the contrary, though, it's energizing and exciting and inspiring to be living your purpose. And when you're living your purpose, you're also not working yourself to death. You know, it's fun. So that's about your energy going out. How are you expending your energy? And then now, energy coming in. Nikki, you and I were talking about the energy that's coming in. Some people who are listening might identify themselves as empaths. And even if you don't identify yourself as an empath, every person on the planet still picks up on the energies around them to some degree.
Yes.
So that's something to keep in mind, that when you start to feel overwhelmed, or you suddenly feel an emotion that you didn't feel a moment ago, or you just feel this overwhelming sense of exhaustion, take a moment and take a breath and ask this magic question. And the magic question is this mine? Is this mine? And you'll feel the answer right away. And if it's not yours, then you just let it go. And, you know, there's just this way of perceiving the just this shift in perception that's really helpful. And it's looking at that exhaustion or that anxiety or whatever it is that you're picking up from the environment. You just look at it as information. It's just information. It's just information, and so I can let it go. Because when we are really attached to it and we are really feeling the emotions around it and we feel like it's ours, it feels harder to let it go sometimes. But if we detach, looking at it as just information helps to detach some of those emotions from it that keep us attached to whatever we're feeling. So if we can say, okay, it's not mine, it's just information. And now I know that that person sitting next to me is feeling sad. That's information. And I can decide to use that information or not, but I'm going to let it go. Now it can move out of my energy field. And for me, I feel it moving up. I feel it moving up and out the crown of my head. And some people like to ground their energy down and let it go into the earth. So you just feel it like a flow of water, like it's energy flowing like water, and it just moves up and out. It's not yours. You don't need it. Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And, you know, I see so many people who, and this is a tough one, I will admit, this one is a tough one, who carry the burdens of other people, people that they love, people mm-hmm. that they care about, and their worry warts. And it's hard to stop the worrying. The practice of releasing and this change of perception, I think, is really, truly key. But it can be very difficult when it is related to someone close to you that you care about that may be going through a difficult time. Like, for example, if you're a parent and you have a child that's struggling, that's a hard thing to release. But I think it's important to know that you can release that, but yet at the same time you can still be of assistance to that other person. And in all honesty, I think you're of more assistance when you do release the worry and the energy that's exhausting you.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking as I was hearing you talk about this. And that's an excellent point, that some people feel like in order to truly care, you have to really feel what the other person is feeling. And if you're not doing that, then you don't really care. And I'm here to tell you all that that's not true, that it might be a belief that some of you might have, but we all have false beliefs all the time. It's a false belief.
Yeah.
And so we can just recognize that, okay, maybe that belief might not be true. Maybe you can consider that that belief might not be true, that you can care and still take good care of yourself. And like you said, you actually have more to offer, more support to offer when you are not depleted by their energy. So there's a distinction between being supportive and really empathizing and taking in their pain. There's a difference. And so being supportive can involve really hearing them, really being present for whatever their experience is. And you might even feel their feelings move through you, but you don't hold on to it and you let it go, and you see that as information to help you to really understand and know what they're feeling. And then you release it out, and then you keep yourself strong and filled with energy so that you can be of support to them.
So true. So true. And I tell a lot of my clients, you have to be able to take care of yourself first. You know, just like if a parent can't feed themselves, how can they feed their child? If a parent can't take care, you know, I think it's a pretty good analogy. In order to help another person, you have to be strong and whole and complete as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. And when you fly on the airplane and the stewardess says, in case of an emergency, you need to put your own oxygen mask on first.
Yes.
Before putting it on your child.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And when I was younger, I used to think, oh my gosh, that's ludicrous, but it really isn't. It's like, yeah, well, if you're not getting the oxygen, you're not going to be conscious long enough to help them put their oxygen mask on. And that energy, that all-important life energy, whether you call it chi or you call it ki, it's all the same, different words for the same thing. That energy it's crucial that we maintain that, we maintain the flow of that and keep it as positive as possible. So do you have any little tips that maybe people could do on an everyday basis in their own lives to try and help them keep that energy positive and flowing as much as possible?
I totally do. And before I zip through that list, if anybody's listening and really wants these tips, if you're able to, I want you to grab a pen and paper so that you can write these down and actually refer to them later. And while you're grabbing a pen and paper, I want to just reiterate, Nikki, what you were saying, and that is that self-care is so important, and sometimes people put everyone else first to the point of their own exhaustion, but truly, truly, and I know this from my own personal experience, and I know many of you also know this as well, that when you do put your own self-care first, and you don't allow yourself to get to that point of exhaustion where you make it a priority to live in alignment with your purpose, and when you learn to say no and you learn to do some of these self-care techniques that I'm going to list off for you, then you have so much more to offer to other people. And when you have more to offer to other people, that's better. So it's kind of this little paradigm shift. It's kind of this little paradigm shift that people have to wrap their brain around when they're so used to putting themselves last. So that's something that hopefully will plant a little kernel of a little seed in people's minds so they can start to shift to that. Okay, so here's the techniques.
All right, I'm ready. I got my pencil and paper.
The first two techniques, if we have time later in the show, we can actually go into them in more detail, but I'll just give the bare bones here. The first technique involves putting just to be simple here, I'm just going to call it a bubble of light, like a boundary around the edges of your aura, around the edges of your energy field. And gold is a really good color to use for that, but you can use whatever color you feel drawn to. And so you've got boundaries now, so all of your energy isn't just floating out into outer space and dissipating, and that you're not being bombarded by everyone else's energy. So now you have energy boundaries, and just simply intending, and whether you're good at visualizing or not, just intending that you have a bubble of gold or a bubble of white light around you is very powerful. So that's number one, that's setting up a grid of protection around you. But a lot of people don't think about the second tip, which is, okay, you've got this protection around you, but if you're whole energy field is totally depleted inside of that energy bubble, then you're still going to feel tired. So not only do you want to have this grid of protection, but number two, you want to fill your aura with light. And again, this can be done through visualizing or just simply intending or asking for that light to come in. I imagine it coming from into the top of that bubble, the top of your aura and down into your crown. And I like, lately I've been using the color gold, which is very protective and it's a very high vibration. So now you've got your boundary and your whole aura is filling with light. And as it's filling your physical body as well and bringing vitality. So those are actually two methods that I teach very step-by-step and in-depth in some of my classes. But again, if you want to keep it really simple, you just imagine having a boundary around your aura, and then you also want to call in light. Now, there's some other real simple techniques that I'll zip through, and some people like to work with archangels and their own guardian angels and their guides. So you can ask for your divine helpers to come and fill you with vitality. And other people really love working with crystals. And that would be a whole other show with tons of But you can, there's tons of great books out there that you can look up which gemstones are great for giving you vitality. Or maybe it's grounding that you need. Maybe you're not very grounded. So you might need stones for grounding. My number one favorite thing that I do to help with my energy level, aside from the grid of protection and filling my aura, I do what's called earthing. And that is I go outside for several hours every week in the fresh air and sunshine in nature. And it sounds really woo-woo, but it has been scientifically proven that it does amazing things for your health. And I will sometimes show up outside feeling exhausted because I worked a whole bunch, and I'll be outside for 5 hours, and by the time I'm done, I feel amazing. And earthing, also meditation and prayer. Meditation and prayer with the intention to cultivate your energy. So when you're meditating, imagine light coming into your aura. And then also breathe, everybody.
Amen to that.
Yeah, breath is energy. So, you know, that's the way that you bring chi into your body. And so be more conscious of your breathing. And often we breathe very shallowly, so you want to bring your breath all the way in, all the way down to your belly, your pelvic bowl. Fill up your belly and then release it. And that's going to have not only
that
calming effect. Yes, so it's going to help calm any stress or anxiety. And it's also, because, you know, when you're in stress mode, it's like your system is in overdrive and it gets maxed out. And that's what you don't want to be in if you're tired. You want to get into a calm mode so that you can be in what I call energy conservation mode. And so you use your breath to release all that anxious energy so you can be expending energy in a more balanced way. So breath. So we've got grid of protection, filling your aura, calling on your guides and angels, working with tools like gemstones and crystals, earthing, meditation and prayer, and breath.
Yes, and I'm just going to add a little bit to the breath part, because I do find the breath itself, well, breath is life, because they say that, and this is an estimate, obviously, you can live about 2 weeks without food, you can live about 2 weeks or 2 days without water, only for a couple of minutes without the breath. Oxygen in and of itself is, it has to get to every single cell of that body. And one of the things that, and I talk about this in my meditation classes, and the importance of breathing correctly. Because we usually don't. Like you said, we tend to breathe shallow. When you're breathing shallow and you're breathing to where just your shoulders are rising, you're only filling up that top about a third of your lung space. And your lungs have so much more capacity for breath. And this is something I actually learned in my my professional training as a singer. The first thing you learn is how to breathe correctly. And babies do it. Babies, little tiny babies, if you ever watch them when they're sleeping, their little tummies go up and down and up and down. Because they're filling the entirety of that lung space with that life-giving energy and oxygen and breath. And when we sit, you got to kind of sit up straight a little bit to do it, and that diaphragm expands and you fill those lungs really from the bottom up is where it starts at. It's amazing how much more relaxed you feel, but yet at the same time how much more energized and how quickly it happens that you feel. And my personal theory is because we tend to run our lives on as little oxygen as possible, as little breath as possible, breathing so shallowly, that once we finally do it correctly, our bodies are like, yeah, this is exactly what I was looking for.
That is so true, yeah. And, you know, even I find that even just taking 3 deep breaths, and usually when my clients come for a session, I have them take 3 deep breaths, or when we do our guided meditations together, taking 3 deep breaths, it takes you out of that stress mode. And it also, it's like this magical tool that helps you to immediately drop back into your spirit and into being more present as well.
Very much so. It really does. It suddenly you're just centered. Boom. Just like that. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Really amazing. I'm going to add something else, too. This is just something that works for me. I don't know if it will work for others, but along with the earthing, first of all, I love earthing as well. It's so great. But another thing that I find that really recharges me, I'm a swimmer. I love to swim. I was a water baby. I swear I was a fish in a previous life. But I love to just float on my back in the water for 20, 30 minutes. If I'm at a friend's house, at a pool, anywhere, or just sit in a hot bath or anything that gets me into, because water in and of itself as an element is nurturing. And it's cleansing and it's healing in and of itself. That's something that I personally find rejuvenates and re-energizes me.
Yes, and what I've noticed is that some people, each person is attracted to different elements. Like some people are they really want to connect with the earth and be on the ground, and some people are more air. And, you know, some people love to be in the water. That's very recharging for them, and it sounds like you're very much water, and I love
I am
by the water. But I was joking with a friend. I love water, and I love to be by the water and looking at the water and feeling the energy of the water. But I rarely go in.
and there are different things that work for different people. And like you said, yeah, people are drawn to different elements. I tend to find a lot of people are drawn to an element that they tend to be lacking astrologically in their natal chart. I lack more water and earth. I tend to want to be around it more. I'm so air, it's not even funny. I'm a quadruple Libra, and I have a Jupiter in Aquarius. I have so much air. I have a lot of fire, too. But so I tend personally to be drawn to the elements that I tend to be lacking more in that natural birth chart, and it tends to balance me out more. And I've seen that with other people, with some of my clients as well, that they tend to also be drawn to elements that they are lacking in the natal chart. And so it helps them to find a focus and to ground and center and things like that. And that could be a potential reason that happens, that is different for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes total sense. Really, our physical body, our energy body, really is seeking balance in every way. So that makes total sense to me that would be why you would really want to be around water. In water.
Just a theory to put out there. So tell me a little bit, if you would, a little bit more about the Energy Healing Institute. How did that come about?
Uh-huh. So that was also a very gradual thing. Just like at the beginning of the show, I was saying that learning about these tools was a very gradual thing over time. So this, I actually, as I mentioned before, I formally started studying Reiki in 1998, and I was also, I think it was in 97, I started formally studying intuitive development, and I was also taking classes in other forms of energy healing as well. And so it started off as me trying to find ways to feel better because the doctors weren't really giving me any solutions that would make me feel better. So it all started with me just finding ways that I could feel better, be stronger, and have more energy and be able to work and other important things like that. And so it started, as I started my journey, then, gosh, by the time I had my Reiki level 2 attunement, I had major breakthroughs in my life. Like, I basically changed my entire life. I had been married, and it was a very dysfunctional situation. And when I received the Reiki level 2 attunement, it raised my vibration so much that I literally was not able to stay in that situation anymore. And which was a good thing. That was a very positive change. And so, anyway, that started a lot of other personal life transformations. And I was on this, like, life transformation marathon or something. I was just, like, immersing myself in it and very passionate about it. And then I started working on, I think after a year, then I was working, my clients were, family and friends and people that I was close to, which would be natural as you're first learning something. And then over time, that very, very gradually, over the next 5 years, I started having regular clients who weren't necessarily friends and family. And I continued my studies, and then I also received my Reiki Master degree in that time period. And then in 2003, I left my day job. So that was over 10 years ago. And I was doing a couple different things, actually. I was working with energy healing clients, and I was also, at the time, I was splitting my time 50-50. I was teaching belly dance for women, and I'm actually no longer doing that. But so anyway, that's why I was able to leave my day job. I had these two really awesome transformational things that I was doing with people. And then gradually over time, the energy healing was taking more and more of my time, which was a big blessing. And life is all about evolution. You know, we think that we're at our final destination, and the universe says, no, we're actually moving you in this direction. And so that's been a fun journey. So yeah, because 10 years ago, I thought, this is what it's going to look like forever. And no, that wasn't the case. So then I got to a time where I realized, okay, I've been working with clients for a long time. Now I really want to start teaching this. I had been teaching a little bit, but I wanted to really focus on teaching more. And by the way, when I started studying Reiki and energy healing in the very beginning, I was a teacher. I had a degree in education, and I have the teacher archetype. Like, that's me. I want to learn, I want to absorb and learn and grow, and then I want to share it with other people. And so I had 10 years professional teaching experience, and then I had also been teaching dance. And so I said, well, now I really want to be teaching all these skills that I know how to do. And so what I did as a part of that decision, of that clarity, I went and retook all of my Reiki levels over again. And that was a wild ride, because when I received all my Reiki attunements again, I had even more life transformation. And it was all, I mean, sometimes it was a little bit stressful, but the end result was amazing. And then that, over the last few years, has evolved in now most of my focus being on teaching. And I have regular clients that I already have been working with for the last few years, and I'm actually not taking any new clients at this time, because about 70% of my time is on my classes and my students. And I've got to tell you, Nikki, that through that whole story, that whole process, right now, I feel more on target with my life purpose than I have ever felt in my entire life. Like, this is it. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know I'll keep evolving. But isn't that an amazing feeling? Like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And sharing my gifts. And I love, oh, my God. Teacher. I love teaching people, and I love I love teaching healing and intuitive development. And I just had a class that was the first long-term class. The first group went 10 months, but now the current group is going 12 months. It's a group that's called CREATE, and it stands for Comprehensive Reiki Energy Healing and Transformation Education. And I decided last year that instead of only offering one-day Reiki classes, I really wanted to offer an experience that would be really, really hugely life-transforming and cover way more than the standard Reiki classes. And so I launched the CREATE program, and the pilot group of students just graduated last Sunday.
And, wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to them.
Yes. Oh, they were so wonderful. And now most of them are going on to my new program, which is the Reiki Master Mentorship Program. And that's a 12-month program. And, you know, the cool thing on top of all of it is that because a lot of what I offer involves ongoing programs, we have the opportunity to really develop relationships. You know, like, we really get to know each other and see each other we get to see one another grow, myself included. Have you had this experience, Nikki, that, you know, when you're offering a class or sessions, you are growing right there along with your client?
So true. It's so true. Yes, I've had that experience on many occasions, and it's amazing. And I think it's the nature of Reiki and of energy in general, because, you know, well, you know this, like, we're taught from the beginning that when you're giving Reiki, you're also receiving Reiki, and I think it's a truth for the teaching process. You know, you're not just the teacher, you're also the student.
Exactly. And when you're coming together in a group energy, it tends to do this awesome thing of magnifying the transformation. You know, like, if you were doing your own personal development work on your own, you would most certainly make progress, and it would be wonderful. But when you join a group that's all about transformation, then it's really, you're tapping into the collective energy that's magnified. If there's, you know, 10 people in that group, then it's this collective energy that you get to take part in.
Wow. Yeah, definitely. That's so true. And it just, it does, it amplifies it so much. It's amazing. Well, how wonderful that you not only have fostered, but get to be in our teaching, but also get to be a part of such incredibly immersive experiences.
Yeah, I think so. I'm loving it.
Good. Wonderful. Well, let me ask you this. First of all, do you have any new classes coming up? And if so, how can people contact you to find out how to get into these classes, how to be a part of this?
Yes, that's a great question. Okay, there's a couple of things coming up. And actually, since we're in November, we are starting to wind down for the holidays. But there is one class coming up in actually this Sunday is Reiki Level 2, and it's traditional Yusui style. And then the first Sunday of December, we're having a Reiki 1 class. And that's an all-day class as well. And then for people who've already been practicing Reiki for a while, if you would really like, if you feel ready to take your skills on to the next level and receive way more than just a weekend workshop, and the weekend workshop format that's pretty popular right now is very valuable and awesome in and of itself. But if you're looking for something different, then the Reiki Master Mentorship Program is a 12-month program. And that starts in January. And because it's a pilot group, the first time that we're doing it in this particular format, whenever I launch a pilot group, I tend to offer it at a significantly reduced price. And it's still just as awesome. I'm still putting just as much energy into it. And so it's only $50 a month, and we meet the second Sunday each month for 4 whole hours.
Wow.
And yeah, and it's only $50 a month. And if you're a massage therapist, you get some of those hours are going to be CEUs, not all of them, but some of them would count towards your massage accreditation. And so if you want more information on how to get involved with that, then here's my website. It's www.mayazahira.com, and it's M as in Mary, A-Y-A, Z as in zebra, A-H-I-R-A.com. So it's www.mayazahira.com. And, of course, the class that I mentioned that just graduated last weekend, the CREATE group, that's the 12-month Reiki and energy healing and transformation education. We have a group that's going on right now, another CREATE group. And they are in full swing, and we're actually doing this one differently, that you can join anytime. And so all that information is on the website. And if anyone has any questions, they can email me via the website as well. And I'd be happy to answer. Yeah.
Wonderful. This is very exciting. I hope and listeners, I hope you take advantage of these opportunities. You will be glad that you did. Maya, we'll be back to you in just a second for any last words of advice that you have for us. But right now, we're going to go to Mike, who's going to tell us what's coming up over the next few months in PRS. Take it away, Mikey.
Coming up Saturday on the 14th, Feng Shui. December 5th is our annual holiday dinner and awards ceremony. January 16th will be our annual predictions panel. February 20th, we have a program on essential oils. March 19th, we have a program on Macau Usui Reiki Crystal Awakening. And April 16th, we have a program on past life regressions. All of these will be at the Westwood, Kansas location. Here, as members, do get to attend for free. Everyone else is welcome to join us for $5. And information can be found at our website, erskc.org.
I hope you all got that. Mike was cutting in. You were cutting in and out a little bit during that, at least from my end. I hope we got all that. But, yes, you can find more information on upcoming events at prskc.org. here's what's coming up over the next few weeks on Radio PRS. Next week, November the 18th, we have Sylvia Vallotton and Gigi Woodman of KC Metaphysical, because guess what's coming up? The KC Metaphysical Fair is November. This isn't May. November 20th, 21st, 1st, and 22nd. I will be reading there for the first time, so I'm very excited. It's an excellent fair. It's a lot of fun, and there are going to be a lot of great people there, a lot of great readers, healers, vendors. There's going to be workshop events. It's going to be a lot of fun. You'll really enjoy that. So we're going to have them on next week talking about their fair and what we can expect, and that's going to be a lot of fun. The following week, which is the day before Thanksgiving, we will not be doing a show. Give you a chance to go be with your families and your friends and enjoy a nice, relaxing holiday. Now, the first Wednesday of December, we have something I am extremely excited about. It's an entirely special show, 2 hours long. It's going to be, we're calling it Words That Transform, and it is an entire 2 hour show of spiritual metaphysical poetry. We have Paul Goldman, we have Vic Kantosky, and we have William C. Simo, who are all going to be joining us, reading different poetry of their own creation. We'll be discussing that poetry and looking into the meaning that lies underneath it. And a lot of this poetry is channeled. It's channeled through dreams. It's channeled directly from the divine. It's based very much on a spiritual experiences and truths that each of these poets has lived in their life and that they see underneath that. And I may even throw in a couple of my poems while we're at it. But it's going to be so much fun. So be sure you tune in on December 2nd. And then we have December the 9th, we have intuitive consultant Melissa Halstead, and she will be with us. You will get a chance to call in for some mini readings during that show. So we got some great shows coming up for you over the next several weeks here on Radio PRX. Maya, thank you so much for being with us tonight. And do you have anything that you would like to add here in this last couple of minutes?
I do. I have something very special that I'm offering for the community, for the women in the community. And it's an event that's on November 17th. It's totally free. And it's in the evening, 6:30 to 8, at my place in Overland Park, the north side of Overland Park. It's a free clarity breakthrough circle. So a small group of women will be gathering, and I am going to be walking you through some very powerful methods to help you gain some clarity about your life and gain some huge breakthroughs. So if you're interested, I would love for you to send me a message via my website, and we'll get you registered for that free event.
Wonderful. Oh, that's exciting. I may have to register for that. Well, thank you so much, Maya, for being with us tonight. This has been very informative and fun, and you're a wonderful guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Nikki.
Oh, you are very, very welcome, and you are welcome back anytime. Thank you to Mike for being our wonderful co-host, as always, and thank you to PRS for bringing us this wonderful show every week. Thank you to all of you for listening. Be sure to tune back in next week. And remember, if you know anybody who'd like to hear this program, all of our programs are archived at blogtalkradio.com/PRSKC Radio. Thank you all, and have a lovely night. Cue the music, Mikey.